email address at deanradio@gmail.com. Also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. David Holt's on our Newsmaker line. He is the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. The two websites, I like the second one. You got consumerenergyalliance.org, but you got another called openthegulf.org. Explain to me what that one's about, David.
Hey, Ed. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother.
Thanks so much. You know, Consumer Energy Alliance represents not only folks in the energy sector and kind of all of the above approach, but, you know, from oil and gas to wind and solar to nuclear and all the rest, but the vast majority of our members are consumers of energy. So if you're putting a nozzle on a car, you're flipping on a light switch, and you're concerned about energy prices and where it comes from, you know, you're a member for us. So all our members got together and said, you know, what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico with the slowdown in permits, the drastic reduction in production that's happening in the Gulf is not only impacting the energy sector and those folks that are directly employed in energy, but it's impacting the Midwest and the trucking industry and the agriculture industry and the manufacturing industry all over the country, people all over the country. So we propped up this website. We got a couple of our members representing agriculture and manufacturing and trucking to do little two-minute kind of commercials that talk about the need to open up the Gulf of Mexico and get the country going again and get energy production going again. And it's pretty impactful. I would encourage folks to go and look at it, openthegulf.org.
What's the story lately with that?
Your time. Look at these videos. They're great.
What's the story lately with that? Is the moratorium still there? Is it being talked about being lifted? What have you guys heard about that?
No, the moratorium, it's not being talked about, but it is still there. In the last 2 months or so, we've seen there was a little bit of an uptick, and everyone got pretty encouraged in the last quarter of 2011. But here recently, it started to slow down again. And, you know, we've already had about 13 or 14 rigs leave the Gulf of Mexico to offshore Africa and elsewhere. And, you know, it's an expensive proposition for these companies to keep these rigs going without certainty on permitting and without regulatory certainty on what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. So it is a concern. It's not corrected. The president made a pretty hopeful speech during the State of the Union. He said all the above. He was going to open up the Gulf of Mexico. He's going to open up offshore Alaska. He talked about the dream of natural gas, which we all see is just creating huge benefits for everyone in the United States. But the reality has not yet matched up with his rhetoric, and we're continuing to hope that this all-of-the-above approach that he's touting will be something that we see here in the last little bit of 2012.
David Holst, the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance, consumerenergyalliance.org, or openthegulf.org. I got to ask a political question here, David, but if his numbers go south, do you think that he'll sign into law or sign into what the jobs bill or what the Republicans want, the XL pipeline, and maybe lift the moratorium, or do you think he's going to abide by the environmentalists out there?
Good grief, I sure would hope so, because, you know, the XL pipeline was, you know, pure politics. At this point, the Gulf slowdown is pure politics. Industry and government have gotten together. The safety measures and all the other stuff that they've done for offshore development have really added a great layer. There's no reason to not get things rolling again. If gasoline prices continue to go up, if we see a drain on the economy, you know, I think the political calculus that this president and his administration have made to shut these good shovel-ready jobs down, I think that calculus kind of changes. And those opposition groups that kind of use scare tactics around the environment to shut all this stuff down, I think it becomes harder for the president to listen to them. Honestly, I certainly hope so, because we've got to be able to, as a country, to balance the environment and access. It cannot continue to be this false choice of protect the environment at all costs and absolutely no access ever. You've got to be able to do both.
Yeah, I agree.
And groups just continue to try to scare people with this shut it all down at all costs mentality. And unfortunately, the president bought into that with the Keystone Pipeline and continues to buy into it with the offshore permit moratoria.
David Holt is the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. The two websites are consumerenergyalliance.org and openthegolf.org. 2006 and 2008, you heard many of the naysayers that didn't like Bush that, hey, it's his foreign policy, it's Halliburton. Why those questions, like, for example, the foreign policy of this president or not drilling, but it's always blamed on the Middle East? It seems like there is a lack of consistency here by the media that to what could and could not be the blame for high rising in gas prices here.
Well, you know, I think when you saw President Bush in 2006 through 2008, you know, he went back and when he saw gasoline prices starting to go up or kind of maintaining a reasonably high price, he went back and announced a whole new program to open up huge areas of the offshore and the Outer Continental Shelf. And immediately, Ed, immediately the markets responded by driving down the price of crude oil, and gasoline prices went down a little bit for a while. The United States uses 25% of the world's oil. If we are serious about our energy policy in this country, if we show serious market signals that say this is what we will do to meet our own demand, to meet our own needs in this country, to become energy self-sufficient, you will immediately see prices come down, more stable prices. We will not be beholden, the global markets will not be beholden to the whims of some of these benevolent dictators, if you will, around the world. You know, that when we see Libya, or we see the Middle East, what's going on there now, or we see the saber rattling that's going on in Iran, that is really helping to obviously drive up energy prices globally. If the United States was serious about its own energy policy and serious about being a good global leader, the amount of oil and natural gas and natural resources that we have, the technology that we have to bring on additional biofuels and to have wind and solar meet up, you know, a small section of our demand, that would send a pretty serious signal to the markets. And this president and frankly, it's not just a Democratic issue. It's been a Republican issue for a long time as well. We just do not have a serious energy policy in this country, and we haven't for a long time.
What about, okay, so when Bush in 2008, which lowered those gas prices pretty rapidly, like within 6 months, about $1.68, $1.70, what happened? Are they still allowed to develop and drill on the outer shelves, or has that been put a stop on that too now?
No, yeah, this administration went back and looked at what the Bush administration, you know, put forward and immediately pulled it all back.
Wow.
And I think, if I remember right, the Bush administration had about 32 big areas that were open for leasing that, you know, you can consider, and you'd go through the environmental process to lease those areas, and companies would bid on them and pay the federal government billions of dollars and all that. This administration kind of pulled that all off the table. Did a multi-year review and assessment, came back with only 13 areas. So took it down about two-thirds of the number of acres and amount of offshore waters that would be available for leasing. And that's the, you know, the process that's going through the system right now with this administration. It's a very limited leasing opportunity compared to where the Bush administration had us as they were leaving office.
Here's the president last week talking about drilling. I'm going to play this clip for you. He says it's nothing more than a bumper sticker. Listen to this.
That since it's an election year, they're already dusting off their three-point plan for $2 gas. And I'll save you the suspense. Step one is to drill, and step two is to drill. And then step three is to keep drilling. We heard the same line in 2007. When I was running for president. We hear the same thing every year. We've heard the same thing for 30 years. Well, the American people aren't stupid. They know that's not a plan.
Well, is it a plan or is it not a plan? Drill, drill, drill.
It's a plan. It's part of a plan. The interesting thing is all the presidential candidates, Santorum, Romney, Gingrich, Paul, and the president all say we need all of the above. They all basically say the same thing. They're in violent agreement on this in their statements anyway. The president's, this administration's actions haven't yet followed the president's words here. We do need to drill. Wind and solar and all the technology that goes into to all the alternative and renewable energy we need to continue to develop that. But the fact of the matter is, wind and solar won't make a big difference in meeting our energy demands for the next 50, 60, 70 years. The butter on the bread, what we're going to need as a nation is oil and natural gas. That is just a fact. Hoping that is not the case is not a plan. You've got to drill. We've got to develop our own natural resources. For example, in 2007, the oil and gas industry paid the federal government about $3 billion for one lease off the north coast of Alaska that by many accounts could be another Gulf of Mexico. It's an area called the Chukchi Sea. It's pretty sizable. It's about the size of the Gulf of Mexico, but many analysts say this could be another Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico has been producing oil and natural gas since 1942. Every time we look, we find more. So all these companies bid $3 billion in 2007. They are still waiting, Ed, still waiting to drill the first exploration well to see what's there. You know, we're 5.5 years later. They have $3 billion the federal government's already taken from these companies just for the right to explore, and the federal government has locked them down. Shell Oil, ConocoPhillips, all the rest are, doing all they can to jump through all the hoops this administration keeps putting in front of them. And yet, 5-6 years later, they still can't even determine with 100% certainty what's there. That is not a plan. We need something that's provides some regulatory certainty, that the market can respond to, that lets everyone know what the rules of the game are, and there's no kind of playing a shell game here, and allows energy companies to meet the needs, the growing needs of every man, woman, and child in this country.
David Holtz, the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. The two websites are consumerenergyalliance.org and openthegolf.org. As a former news reporter, I'm old enough not to report back in the Carter days, but I remember the Carter days. I look at history. Jimmy Carter said, hey, let's drill in ANWR. If we had this process 30 years ago, we probably, instead of saying, well, as the liberals always say, well, it's not going to change it tomorrow. Well, yeah, but if you would have done it 10, 15 years ago, it would be changed today and tomorrow. Not to appease the environmentalists out there, but to think about it for a second here, David, that if we drilled 30 years ago, it's possible we could have, market-wise, $1.50, $2 a gallon gasoline at the pump. And then as we have low gasoline, we could appease the liberal left by saying, now let's look at solar and wind, or algae, as the president say. Could we not have that argument?
We absolutely could. That's the sensible way. It defies logic to me anyway, and I think to you also, Ed, that we are continuing to have this debate.
Right.
We all agree that we need it all. We all agree that this country, 95% of our transportation needs are met with oil. That's not changing. We're a commuter society. There's no state that gets the benefit of folks jumping in their car and coming out on vacation than the state of Florida. Those things must continue, and we must find ways that we can find sensible, environmentally safe and responsible ways to open up our abundant natural resources while, as you say, we look for ways to develop the technology and the infrastructure for wind and solar and more nuclear and all the rest.
David, you ever had this debate, and I've had them many times with liberals, but you ever had this debate because it seems that they're not... you and I can be rational. We could sit back and say, if we want to put in stuff like, Marty McFly and Back to the Future and garbage would work, hey, and it saves money, let's go down that road. It hasn't shown to work. But having said that, it's like when you talk about the energy and you talk about, okay, listen, if we go down this road here, it seems that, for example, they want to eliminate oil production, period, here. And I keep saying, well, wait a second. When you get a hurricane, for example, we broadcast in Florida, you get a hurricane and you have to warm or cool your goods and keep them in a safety area when there is no heat, it's called plastic containers. Do you know what makes that? It's oil production. Well, it's a stuff. Am I right or wrong on that?
You're absolutely right. Listen, aspirin. If anybody, has a headache today and they took some aspirin, that is made from petroleum byproducts and natural gas. The shoes on your feet, the wallpaper on your walls, your carpeting, the tire on your car, 90% of the products that go into your car, the fertilizer in your lawn, all those things are made with oil and or natural gas. It's absolutely pervasive, And you have to, you absolutely have to have it as a society. And you're right, I think, you know, the too many of these opposition groups that kind of use the environment, you know, the politics of no cannot be allowed to continue. The Keystone Pipeline and the opposition to that was really a means to an end. And what they're trying to do there is end all development of Canadian oil sands, which are trillions of barrels of oil that our friends to the north, already our number one energy trading partner, want to provide to the Gulf of Mexico and the refinery sector there that's already optimized to accept this crude oil. They want to, they are ready to bring it here. The opposition groups want to stop all development of Canadian oil sands. That's not going to happen. The Chinese are ready, willing, and able to take it tomorrow. They're already negotiating with our friends to the north in Canada to take some of their Canadian oil sands.
Listen, when we go ahead.
So this is a situation that is putting us in a very precarious national security situation, potentially, if we don't get our ducks in a row the right way and develop an energy policy that is based on sound science, good political policy, looking at ways that we can develop these things in an environmentally thoughtful way, and we got to get around this politics of no all the time. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's hurting the country.
When we come back from the break, let's talk about how the administration says, hey, we're doing well. Don't listen to those on the pro-oil side because we're actually exporting more out there than we've ever done before, yet they're taking credit for something that happened years earlier. And let's find out who's really winning the war are those that are for pro-consumers out there, which the liberal left claims to be part of, but they're not. Who's going to win this war? Is the XL pipeline, or is it going to be the liberal environmentalists? Back in a few moments right here on the Ed Dean Radio Show.
She was from another time, like some baby Barbarella, with the stars as her umbrella. She asked me if I'd like to magnetize. Do I have to go start tricking? Cause it's you I should be checking. So she leaves a female with her cosmic eyes. Oh now, she's just a cosmic.
Why did a Democrat congressman say,
you're going to get out of the streets and get a little bloody when necessary?
Why are Democrats shutting down state capitals to protect a system that pays unionized government workers 42% more than non-union workers? A system that collects hundreds of millions in mandatory dues to back liberals who support government unions.
They walked doors for me. They made phone calls for me. They turned out the vote for me.
One union boss explains,
it is not because we care about children, and it is not because we have a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues.
Tell Obama, you've had enough.
Hi, I'm Orange County Mayor Teresa Jacobs. Orange County is encouraging animal lovers in our community to adopt a shelter pet today. Right now, your adoption also helps Orange County Animal Services compete in the ASPCA $100,000 Challenge. It's a national effort to change the lives of homeless animals by finding them permanent, loving homes. So be a champion for change and learn more at ocnetpets.com.
How fast can you save money? Peter is applying for a free wind inspection at MySafeFloridaHome.com. Thousands of Florida homeowners have already done the same, qualifying for an average savings of about $200 on their insurance. Jeff is separating two-ply toilet paper into one ply so it'll last longer. Looks like Peter has finished in less than 4 minutes. Jeff is, still working. MySafeFloridaHome.com. We protect Florida's homes. You protect your pocketbook.
We'll be right back.
I continue to move along. More of the Ed Dean Radio program. David Holt, the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance, is on our Newsmaker line. ConsumerEnergyAlliance.org and IllOpenTheGolf.org. So the president's guys are out there saying, hey, wait a second, David, you guys are all wrong, man. I mean, you tell us that the oil industry is hurting and America's hurting when it comes to this, and yet we're producing and exporting more than we've ever done before. And, you know, David, I kind of went back and did a little research. Wasn't this all happening underneath the Bush administration and now that the Obama administration is reaping the benefits?
Yeah, Ed, you're half right. There's okay. Two things that's going on. One, under the Bush administration, they had a whole bunch of production that was started, a lot of it onshore, some offshore. A lot of that was caught up in litigation from opposition groups, and all that litigation kind of ran its course, so all those areas are now online. The big benefit has been on private lands in North Dakota in an area called the Bakken, which is probably the largest single oil discovery in the last 30 years in the world. And that's all coming online. It's on private land, so the Obama administration and the federal government has no control over it. They can't stop it. It's not on federal lands. It's not subject to federal permits. All that's coming online, that's the big production increase. It's this private land and the residual stuff from the Bush administration. If you look at just public lands under this administration, they are down about 35-40%. So
really?
It's actually a pretty significant reduction.
Who's going to win this debate? Is it going to take somebody who is going to have to be pro-energy to get into the White House? And, you know, you don't always want to play partisan politics, but this president here, I mean, he does cater to the environmentalists out there, and with this guy in, I mean, with all due respect, the pro-energy crowd's not going to win, are they?
Well, I think the facts are on the side of a sensible, all-the-above pro-energy philosophy. And, you know, you see the president saying some of these things, saying kind of the right things that we would all kind of tend to agree with, but the administration's actions are not following his rhetoric. The other candidates on the Republican side are all also supporting of all the above, but a little more aggressive and a thoughtful, more sensible plan on the oil and gas side. So, you know, I think this national debate on do we want to make things again in this country? Are we going to rely on manufacturing? Are we excited that the fact that because of natural gas prices and this new supply of natural gas in this country, that Nucor Steel, a steel plant, they're building a new steel plant in the state of Louisiana. Ed, when is the last time a steel manufacturing plant was built in this country? You know, these are great things that are happening. Our chemical sector is significantly expanding. Agriculture prices will eventually receive some benefit because of reduced fertilizer costs because of natural gas manufacturing and things like that. So there's a lot of benefit. The question is, do we want to be a country that makes things, that manufactures things, that including oil, including gasoline and diesel fuel from oil? I think we do.
Give me a 30-second answer. The Ag Commissioner or the Ag Department of Ag is what, Salazar, formerly from Colorado?
No, the Secretary of Interior is Salazar from Colorado.
Does he support drilling off the shore, off the coast, in the Gulf, or not?
That's another iffy question. You know, sometimes he says the right things, Ed, but
the actions certainly don't speak
to that because of the permit slowdown.
Yep, that's what I wanted to know. They talk a good game, and then, of course, they talk out of one side and everything else. Hey, let's do this real good. I enjoyed the interview. Let's do it again real quick here, David.
I look forward to it anytime. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. David Holt is the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. Good interview. Two websites to go take a look at, ConsumerEnergyAlliance.org and OpenTheGolf.org. All coming your way next hour. We're going to be hanging out with Dan Ruas and Rob Dale. We got some more clips.